So he is the source of all our strength. And the church said, amen. So I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So when I pray that God bless you, and I pray that you please pray for me as I stand and proclaim the word of God. So if you would, and if you don't mind, please stand and turn to Matthew chapter 11. God's will, my intent is to preach verse 28. But I'm going to read verses 25 through 30 for continuity's sake. So Matthew 11, verses 25 through 30. And the word of the Lord reads, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So the title this morning is, Come to Jesus and Rest in Him. Come to Jesus and rest in Him. Do you need rest this morning? You may be seated. So come to Jesus and find rest in Him. So Father, we thank you for who you are and all that you continue to do. We praise you. We honor you because you are God all by yourself. You loved us so much that you gave Jesus Christ to us while we were so undeserving, rebels, enemies of the state. But you loved us anyway and gave your all that we may become our all in Jesus Christ. So Lord, we thank you that you look at us now through Jesus, that we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ covered by his blood. And Lord, and we thank you for sanctifying us as we live out this journey, working our way towards glorification. Father, until then, we thank you for your grace and your mercy that we need on a moment by moment basis, that we can walk worthy of the calling with which we have been called. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So come to Jesus and rest in him. I know the scripture reading this morning was found in Luke 18, 9 through 14. And it reads, also he spoke this parable talking about Jesus to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, and just listen at that personal pronoun, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even this. Can you see him pointing at this guy that went in there with him? This tax collector. He had elevated himself up to the point, as long as I can look down on people, I can feel good about myself. As long as I can look down on people, I don't feel like I need a God. But one day, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. Whether you belong to Jesus Christ or not, you're going to bow before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So the call is going out this morning. Jesus Christ said, come. And we're going to look at what that word means, to come. But this Pharisaic attitude. And I'm sure that same attitude is in here. As if you don't need this God, because there's always somebody shorter than you are. Because you can always find somebody from your perspective, from your perception, that looks worse than you do. At least I'm not. But did you just do it and not get caught? As I was preparing for this message this week, and I was listening to preacher after preacher, and I listened to preaching every single day, preaching after preaching after preaching. And this preacher said, you know, we look down on people that are pregnant out of wedlock, but are you fornicating and just using birth control? And what about the man? We always look at the woman. What about the man? He participated. Just like the Pharisees brought the woman to Jesus and said she was caught in adultery. Where's the man? So it's so easy to look at other people that are not doing as well as you are. Make you feel better about yourself. But I got news for you. You are a wretch. The Bible says, Paul in Romans chapter 7, a wretch. He called himself a wretch. We're just dressed up wretches. But we're only what we are by the grace of God. And we have to think that way. We don't have it all together. We're not perfect. We're not there yet. There are times, and I hate to admit it, but I'm just like this Pharisee. Lord, I'm glad I'm not like all those people. But if I look in the mirror, which is the word of God, and really compare myself to what God says I am, I have to fall down on my knees and ask God to please forgive me. So we're going to compare two groups of people this morning, the Pharisees and the tax collector out of Luke. But listen at what the rest of what the Pharisee says. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the Pharisees were intentional of doing every single thing just by the law. On the Sabbath, they would count their steps to not exert themselves. They would tithe off everything. But don't you know when they counted their steps on Sunday, they were working on the Sabbath, therefore they broke the law? But let's look at the poor tax collector. Verse 13, and the tax collector standing afar off would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And that's the attitude we have to have when we come before God, because we have to come and beg and plead for his mercy and his grace. Because we are in need of it every moment of our lives. If God took his hand off of us, where would you be? Because it's in you. God is, and the Holy Spirit is restraining it. Just think about some of the things you think about doing and you don't do. Why don't you do it? Because the opportunity is not available? Because you don't have the resources? Because you're afraid you'll get caught? Think about when you first started driving. I can remember when I first started driving. Now, I grew up in the country, so I started driving probably 9 or 10. I mean, we had tractors. My granddad had a pickup truck. We lived on dirt roads, so we were always driving. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Steve? Always driving. You know, at that point, you were following the law, 55. So I'd go about 50 because I didn't mean to get close. And now, man, that's not even a thought in my mind. I look around, it's like, okay, I don't see a law. Therefore, 55 really doesn't mean 55, right? And I'm sure I'm not the only one. Well, what do you do when the police show up? What do you do? And I'm sure it's sad to say, you're probably not speeding, you start to slow down. You just see the police like, oh, you slow down automatically. You're not speeding. Why are you slowing down? Just think when Pastor said about 25 years ago he got saved, about 20 for me. Now, you were walking in a straight and narrow. You were intentional walking in a straight and narrow path. But some kind of way it loses its luster. You don't think about it as much as we should. We get so used to, take it for granted, until something drives us back on the straight and narrow path. But this tax collector said, look at me, the sinner. Have mercy on me. And we're in need of God's mercy. All the time. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other For everyone who exalts himself will be humble, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus said the tax collector went home justified. But guess what? The Pharisee went home justified too. He just wasn't justified by God. Because we always justify behavior, right? I feel justified. Let me tell you why I did what I did. It doesn't matter. You're wrong. But in your mind, you rationalize and therefore justifying it. But who do you want to be justified by, man or by God? Jesus said the tax collector went home justified. So when you leave here this morning, this afternoon, are you going to leave justified by God? Or are you going to justify your own attitude, your own position, your own perspective? Because I want to challenge you today. You can't come to church and play. Come to church and say, well, I've given God my time, so I'm going to go and do what I want to do. If you're a born again believer, follower of Jesus Christ, all your time is God's time. You cannot separate the two. You are a Christian, period. You're not a Sunday morning Christian and a Monday through Saturday, whatever you want to do. Where can you go that God is not? So if you find a place where you can go and God doesn't see, you can do what you want to do when you find that place. But if you can't, you have to always be consciously aware that you're in the presence of God. God say, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And everything we do is as if it's bright. It doesn't matter what time it is. Even if it's midnight, it's just like it's in midday. We go out and do it in public because it's always light where God is. And God sees everything. And he sees what your thoughts are. He sees our hearts. Just because we didn't do it does not mean we didn't sin. But did you want to do it? Did you cuss that person out in your mind? Now, please don't take what I'm saying as if, well, I thought I might as well say it. Don't do that. Because if you do that, then you're bringing somebody else in with you. If you do it in your own heart and mind, it's just you. But if you do it out, now you're bringing somebody else in. And then what does that do to your witness? Who knows when that person needs you? And if you go off on somebody like, I'm not going there. And then you say, come to my church. Like, why? Because I'm painting every Christian with the same brush. If you say you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you go to church every Sunday and Wednesday, and then you act the way you act. Why would I come to church with you? Which is legitimate, right? So your witness is at stake. Let your light shine that men may see your good works. And then turn around and glorify God, which is in heaven. So who are you this morning? Are you the Pharisee or are you the tax collector? So hopefully, if you're not, go back to Matthew 11, 28 through 30. But I probably won't get to 30. If I do, it's going to be briefly. But the main focus is going to be on verse 28. So Jesus said to them, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So we know Jesus made this statement. So before we get into what Jesus said, let me tell you who Jesus is. Just in case there's somebody that don't know Jesus Christ. Just in case you're so familiar with him, you really forget who he is. But first of all, Jesus Christ is God Almighty. Isaiah 9:6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ himself, the second in the triune God. He is God Almighty. Genesis 1 says, in the beginning, God, Elohim. Jesus Christ was there. He was right there and he created everything. And that's found throughout scripture. Jesus is God Almighty. Matthew 1:23 said, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Philippians 2:9-11, therefore God has highly exalted him, Jesus Christ, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on the earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So Jesus Christ is God Almighty. Secondly, Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. When we beheld the glory of God, which is in the person of Jesus Christ, we beheld God himself, incarnate, enclosed in flesh, left heaven, came to earth to seek and to save that which was lost. And he left his home in heaven, coming to earth, knowing his creatures were going to kill him. Although they didn't kill him, he said, I lay down my life, right? So nobody takes my life, I lay it down. Colossians 1:15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of over all creation. Hebrews 1:3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So he came down, did the work, went back to glory, and he's seated at the right hand of God the Father right now interceding for us, because we're still in need of intercessory prayer. There's not a day that you and I can live sin free. Yes, we should sin less, but we'll never become sinless here on earth, because we're still walking around in this fleshly body. And the flesh and the world and the devil is ever attacking you and me. Ever attack. So we need the Holy Spirit that dwells within us to overcome. And there's a constant battle between the flesh and the spirit that dwells within you. And if you're not in the spirit, you're in the flesh. There's no gray ground. None. You're either being filled by the spirit or you've been filled by something. And your behavior will follow suit. Jesus is the Son of God. Matthew 1:18 said, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child in the Holy Spirit. I can't help but to think about, you know, we just come through Christmas, going towards Easter. Just think about that miraculous birth. She had not been with a man, and yet she was found with child. And this child was a child of the Holy Spirit, Emmanuel, God with us. And poor Joseph. Man, I can't even imagine being Joseph. You know, you love this little girl, you trust her, and the next thing you know, she's pregnant. Then she say, it's the Holy Spirit child. And Joseph like, you know, I was born at night, but not last night. And of course, God stepped in because he know we're frail. And God gives us exactly what we need when we need it. We needed a way out of this sin. We needed a savior. And just in the nick of time, Jesus Christ came. Born of a virgin. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So Jesus is the Son of God. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Amen. 1 Timothy 6:13-15. I urge you in the sight of God who lives life, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep that commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ appears, which he will manifest in his own time. He is who the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Revelation 19:16, and he has on his robe and his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. And Jesus came to save us from our sin. I mean, we were stuck in the muck and the mire, running a race that we could not win, broken down, broken hearted, busted and disgusted. But we thought we were okay. But God knew we weren't okay. He promised Jesus Christ in Genesis 3:16, 3:15. Hebrews 13:8 said the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world. So God had a plan. He knew what Adam and Eve would do. In spite of what they did, Jesus Christ voluntarily came down to save us from our sins. Because he loves us. And if you don't know him this morning in the free part of your sin, he loves you. He don't want you to die in your sins. If you die without Jesus Christ, you're going to have to stand before God as a judge by yourself. By yourself. You're going to have to be your own attorney. What's the old saying goes? If you're your own attorney, you got a fool for a client. And literally, you are a fool. The Bible said, a fool is said in the heart, there is no God. And you living as if there's not a God. Doing your own thing with your own resources in your own time. And nobody can tell you what to do. But one day, you're going to close your eyes on this side and wake up in eternity. With or without Jesus Christ, you're going to be in eternity. So if you without him, you're going to have to stand before God. And the books will be open. All your deeds, you can't deny them. You can't do the way we do here. It wasn't me. Right? It wasn't me. But I saw you. It wasn't me. But the books will be open. And your deeds are going to speak for themselves. It's as if as you live your life, you're writing your own autobiography. Every deed, every word, every thought is being recorded in the books. And you're going to stand there and the book's going to be open. And you're not standing there to determine whether you're going to heaven or hell. If you die without Christ, there's only one place to go. If you die without Christ today before the rapture, before he send you into the eternal punishment, you're going to hell. And as bad as hell is, it's not the worst place. The Bible says in Revelation that hell is going to give up the dead and you're going to be thrown into a lake of fire. And there is no end. I want to confront you with this morning. I want you to think about, where are you? Are you in Christ? Do you know that you know that you know that you're in Jesus Christ? If you died right now, there's no doubt in your heart or mind that you're going to, the next face you will see will be Jesus Christ welcome you into heaven. Or are you going to be cast in utter darkness? Where there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But you need to know. Because Jesus Christ came to save us from our sin. He said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. And that loss is you've been designated for destruction. You're in the kingdom of darkness. And you don't know it. Because you were born there. You live there forever and you think you can see. How can you convince a blind person they're blind if they think they can see? And you're looking for something that's not there. And you're trying everything to fulfill your deepest desire. And that deepest desire is to worship the Lord Jesus Christ in spirit and in truth. That's God placed that in us to worship him. He made us to worship him. He made creation to worship him. Pastor talked about he went out west and just saw creation. Creation worships God. The birds sing to worship God. I know we got neighbors with dogs. I don't know if those dogs barking in the middle of the night are worshiping God or not. They're doing something. They could be worshiping God. But God created everything to worship him. And we're supposed to be the smartest of the creation, right? But we got it so twisted. Because we're suppressing the truth. And if you suppress the truth, you can only believe the lie. But if you're suppressing the truth this morning, I've told you who Jesus Christ is. So let me tell you what he's calling you to do. He's telling you to come. Come. Come to Jesus Christ. You don't have to go through this by yourself. Regardless of what you've gone through by yourself, you don't have to go through this by yourself. God is there with you in the person. You don't have to go through it by yourself. So first of all, before I tell you what come is, let me tell you what come is not. Jesus Christ is not telling you to come to church. He's not telling you to join the church. He's not telling you to come and walk the aisle. How many times have you seen people walk the aisle? and never see them again. Now, the hope is that they've joined another church, right? But we know in our heart of hearts that they just come down, maybe on an emotional high, come down weeping as if they truly turn in their life to Christ. But the reality, they need to just get this off of them. And if I come down and they pray for me, and maybe give me some money I can put in my pocket, I'll feel all right. Because I go and buy some of my real God, right? And it's not about repeating the sinner's prayer. What is the sinner's prayer anyway? I know we say words, but where in the scripture does it say, say this? And it's not about being baptized. No, some people have been baptized more than once, as if the water saves you. But it does not. But when Jesus Christ said, come, he's calling us into an intimate relationship with him. Come. And then that word come to is an interesting word. And in Greek is pros, which means it's face to face. It's an intimate relationship with him. It's also found in John 1:1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. That word with is the same word. Had Pastor read the high priestly prayer when Jesus was praying for us, the future saints, that we would be one with him, just like he and his father are one. That's the type of relationship Jesus Christ is calling us into. An intimate relationship. To really get to know him more and more and more, moment by moment. To put us in precious situations so we know that we need to continue to grow. So we'll turn around and go to him. Put us in difficult situations so we know that we need him more and more every moment of our lives. As we study his word, meditate on his word, expose ourselves to his word, that we may see more and more of us, what we need to change, and we see him for who he is, high and lifted up. And we compare ourselves to him and not look at other brothers and sisters that are struggling. Because more times than not, you're struggling just as bad or even more. But it's easy to put a mask on to come to church, right? Oh, I got it all together. Praise the Lord. It's under the blood. God bless you. I'm too blessed to be stressed. But what do you do when you go home and you take all this stuff off? When you cry yourself to sleep sometimes. When people talk about you. And you know they're talking about you. And you're struggling and asking the Lord, is it worth it? And then you put your resume before God. Lord, look, I've done all this. Why do you allow these people to come at me like that? But then you have to grab hold of to the word of God. Yea, they slay me. Will I trust you? Will I worship you? And you know, as you go through, your faith is growing and growing. And the more you go through, the more you're able to go through. And God is drawing you closer and closer to him. And you're going to have that intimate relationship where he's calling us to. Come to me. He's not calling you to anything or anybody else. He's saying come to him personally. And you have access because of what he's done on the cross. We have access to him. We can go through his throne of grace in the time of need. He's a right now God. He's an ever present help. And we have access because of what Jesus Christ done on the cross. For undeserving, hell-deserving sinners like you and me. But yet he loved us so much. So first of all, to come to Christ, to look and repent. Isaiah 45:22. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. So when we look and repent, we want to hear. Christ said, for all those that have ears to hear, let them hear. John 5:24-25. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believe in me, believes in him who sent me, has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. And then we have to believe. Acts 16:31, they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. And this is the jailer when he was in the jail sleeping. Paul and Silas was locked up in Philippi. And then there was a great earthquake because they were singing in midnight. What do you do in your midnight hour at its darkest? Do you sing and praise God? Or do you shrink back in a corner as if this is too big for God to handle? But they were praising and worshiping God at midnight. And there was a great earthquake, shook the whole jail. And that's what will happen when a good prayer meeting, it'll shake things up, right? It'll shake them up. It'll shake whatever's bound, have you bound, shake it off. And then you can freely worship and praise the Lord Jesus Christ. When the last time you've prayed the Lord, praised the Lord, just unashamedly, don't care who's looking, don't care who's watching you, you just caught up in the presence of God. But the jailer rushed in, started to kill himself, but Paul said, do yourself no harm. And then he fell down and said, what must I do to be saved? And of course, he and his household was saved. And then we have to confess, 1 John 4:2, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is from God. And then we have to receive. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. And then we have to accept the gift of eternal life. Because Romans 6:23 said, the first part, for the wages of sin is death. And that's where we were. But God. But the gift of God is life eternal. And then we have to be drawn by God the Father. John 6:44 said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. John 6:37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast him out. And then we have to enter the door, because Jesus Christ is the door. See, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one's come to the Father but by me. That's what it means. That's what it means to come to God, come to Jesus Christ. But it's an intimate relationship. It's intimate. And then to be loved with an everlasting love. Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations or distress or persecutions or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? 38-39, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Are you following Jesus Christ this morning? Are you following Christ? Do you want to follow Christ? And if you are, you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. And as a disciple, you have to count the costs, right? Because it costs Jesus Christ his life to bring us into the sheepfold. And it's going to cost you and me. But are you willing to pay the cost? You're going to have to get outside of your comfort zone. You're going to have to do some things that you wouldn't normally do. When the Holy Spirit prompts you, you have to be obedient. If you're not obedient, you're sinning. And it's going to cost. It could cost you money. It could cost you time. Now, make sure you discern the Spirit of God, but it may cause you to have to bring somebody into your home. And I was on my way home Thursday, stopped at a filling station. I saw this guy as soon as I pulled up, and he jumped out of the car and he said, you got 50 cents? So I need some gas. It's like, what in the world are you going to do with 50 cents worth of gas? I mean, a gallon of gas is $2. So what the world are you going to do with 50 cents? I mean, I don't know how much gas he had in there. I'm almost certain 50% wasn't going to add enough for him to get wherever he was trying to get go. So I was like, okay, I'll fill your tank. And I, of course, put it in. So he said, no, don't do it. I said, that's okay. Because in my mind, this is going to give me an opportunity to share the gospel. I got you. You can't go. You're going to have to stay here. I don't know how much gas we're going to put in, but we're going to fill it up and we're going to talk. Then I noticed he just had, his arm was missing from here down. And I'm just looking. He said, I had a motorcycle accident. Said, of course, lost his arm and he pulled his shirt, scars all over here in his legs. He said, I was in intensive care for 29 days. I was in a coma for 11 days. And he was just telling me all these things. He said, I died a couple of times. I was like, goodness. He says, you know, Jesus Christ loves you. I mean, he has you here for a reason. He loves you. And he's like, yeah, I believe in God. And he was to my Muslim and all this other stuff. I'm like, no. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about just a God, but I'm talking about Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, God has showed his love to us. And he said, yeah. He said, you know, I talk to people and I try to get them motivated and I try to get them excited. I said, but it doesn't matter. So if you don't have a relationship with Christ, that's what matters. Because eventually you're going to die. And then he shared with me, he tried to commit suicide 3 times. He pulled up his pants and had scars on his ankles where he cut himself. I said, man, I said, God is trying to tell you. But one day, if you don't get saved, you're going to die. But as a disciple, it's going to cost us. We have to make disciples, right? Wherever we are, as the old saying, you have to grow where you planted. And we have to look for opportunities to share the gospel. But one day, this guy's going to die. But just think about that. He had a motorcycle accident. And we didn't get into the details. I don't know if someone was there when it happened. Or he had to just wait. And even if someone was there, he still had to wait till medical people get there. But he was there. Suffering. Not knowing. But one day he's going to breathe his last. And if he's not standing with Jesus Christ, he's going to have to stand by himself. But Jesus Christ has given you an opportunity today to come. And he said, come to me all. Now that all is not necessarily everybody. Many are called, but few are chosen. So the call is going out to all of you. Come unto me. All. But then he qualifies it. All you what? Who labor and are heavy laden. I know when I used to travel quite a bit, I would never have a hotel reservation. I figure when I get there, I'll find one. Because I'm extremely cheap. I just need to sleep. If I find a $19, that's where I'm going. Man, I don't want to spend more than $30. More than $30 hurt my feeling. Like, my gosh, I just want to sleep. I don't want to do anything else. I don't have to have a TV. I'm just here to sleep. And then I drive and drive, especially if it's a long trip, until I'm just absolutely exhausted. Then I find one, crash, get up, going again. Of course, if my family's with me, it's a different story. I mean, just me. When I'm by myself. But you know, have you just did something to the point where you just absolutely exhausted? I mean, just worn down, just physically exhausted. So if you have, you get a sense of what Christ is saying here. He's not talking about physical exhaustion, but he's talking about spiritual exhaustion. Because he said, take my yoke. Therefore, they have to put down their yoke. And the yoke is the law. And if you read verses all the way from verse 1 all the way through 25, John the Baptist was preaching to these people. They would not come. Jesus preached in several cities. They would not come. But they're trying to work their way into heaven. And they're working to the point and working to the point. And only those that are physically, spiritually labored on a heavy laden, only that group of people are going to come. Because they realize they cannot do it on their own. Have you ever just got tired of being tired? Yep. Have you ever been doing something, you just absolutely tired of it? People go to different levels, alcohol, drugs, trying to get that same high. And they're chasing something that they will never catch. It's like chasing the wind. But this is what we're talking about spiritually here. And you've been trying to work righteousness, trying to satisfy God, trying to do it on your own. And you're to the point where you realize I cannot do it on my own. But I need somebody that's already did it. He's done it for you. So you can stop. Because the more you did, the more you work, the more tired you get. And then it's the laden is just things pile on top of you, just packing you down and packing you down. And it's something that happened in the past, but you're still feeling the impact of it today. And you're working and working and working, trying to get to heaven. But all roads do not lead to heaven. There's only one God. And one mediator between God and man, which is Christ Jesus. That's the only way. So Christ is saying, come to me, all those that labor and are heavy laden. And this thing is pushing you down and you to the point where I can't go another step. But until you get there, you're going to keep going. Because you're going to feel like, oh, that preacher don't know what he's talking about. Just like when Noah was building the ark. It was over 100 years. And he was preaching the same sermon. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. And the people are like, rain? What is rain? We don't know what rain is. And it's just like some of you. You don't know what the gospel is. But the gospel is Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Not the assistance of a man, but the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. He lived a perfect life. Died one Friday. Rose to life on Sunday morning. Walked the earth for another 40 days. Now he's in heaven. He paid the price. So you don't have to pay it. That's the gospel. But just like the people during Noah's day, they didn't believe Noah and you don't believe me. But the good news is that you don't have to die in your sin. Can't you see Noah building that ark? Man, it was generation after generation after generation. When he first started building the ark, a little bitty boy, and the little boy was probably scared. What is this crazy old man talking about? It's going to rain. Then he became a man. He had a child. His little boy said, what is this crazy man? And then he had a son. And then the little boy one day went home and said, hey, granddaddy, what is this crazy man doing? He said, son, don't worry about that. He was building that ark when I was your age. But guess what? One day it started to rain. One day, the Bible says, it has been appointed to man once to die. And this is one appointment you have to keep. And then the judgment. So come to Jesus Christ. Come. All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that rest is a refreshment, a restoration of your soul, to quicken you, to make you alive. So you can stop trying to please God on your own, because you can't. I can't. Only when I yield to the Spirit of God, even now, am I pleasing in his sight. Positionally, I'm perfect. I'm in Jesus Christ. He looks at me. He looks at me through Christ. But practically, I have to live this thing out. And if you're saved, come to Jesus Christ for repentance. We have to keep coming. And that coming is present tense, a continual action. You have to keep coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Moment by moment, trusting him by faith. Because anything we do that is not of faith, it's sin. And we sin every single day. And anytime we sin, we break fellowship with God. And you can tell, or you should be able to tell when you break fellowship with God, because your relationship with other people are not right. Until we get that right, horizontal cannot be right. But Jesus Christ saying, come. Come to him and find rest for your soul. Because outside of him, you can't find rest. Not this type of rest. And it amazes me. You know, you see it, you hear people say, rest in peace. But if they didn't have peace with God before they died, there is no peace. There is no peace. And I was laughing at Pastor when he said, you know, he's 25 years, he's going to a better place. And I laughed because we were talking about Sunday Blast. This preacher was behind this chicken truck. Probably down in Arkansas, Mississippi. And his nephew was in his car with him. And he said, Uncle, where are those chickens going? Where are those chickens going? And his uncle said, to a better place. But we know where those chickens were going. And brothers and sisters, If you're not in Jesus Christ, you're going to the same better place those chickens went. A place that they never intended to go. However, they were going to end up there anyway. But you can go spend eternity with Jesus Christ. John 14 said, he tells us that he's going to prepare a place for us. And when he prepares a place, he's going to come and take us, and we shall be where he is. The word of God said we're going to look just like him. But we're going to see him as he is. So do you want rest this morning or this afternoon? Do you want rest? Do you really want the rest that only Christ can offer? So I challenge you to think about it and make sure that you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because if not, you're going to stand before him by yourself, guilty. Not coming to see if you're guilty or not, but you're already guilty. And you're going to be cast out in the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen. Amen. Father God, we thank you for your word. We pray, Father God, that you prick hearts right now, Father, that you draw unto yourself.